Radio Prague News. Police have said there is no indication of foul play in the death of a regional court judge. Parliament's Mandate and Immunity Committee has advised deputies in the lower house to strip former Defence Minister Vlasta Parkanova of her immunity, opening the way for prosecution. And German police are reported to have found the newborn baby kidnapped in the North Bohemian town of Trmice last week. Police investigating the death of regional court judge Miloslav Studnička say they have no indication of foul play. At a press briefing on Tuesday, investigators said they found no traces of a struggle and have no reason to believe that Judge Studnička's death was linked to his professional activities. The judge was found dead in his country home in the Novyichin area on Monday with a throat wound. The police are not ruling out suicide or a tragic accident. The situation is complicated by the fact that the bleeding judge was savaged by his own dogs before the police found him. The circumstances of his death have caused widespread speculation since Judge Studnička presided over a number of high-profile criminal cases in the Czech Republic, including that of arsonists who left a toddler in Vítkov with severe disabilities in a racially motivated attack. All four received stiff prison sentences. Parliament's Mandate and Immunity Committee has advised deputies in the lower house to strip Vlasta Parkanova from top 09 of her immunity, opening the way for prosecution. Ms. Parkanova is suspected of abuse of public office and breach of trust in connection with a 3.5 billion crown purchase of CASA military transport planes while she served as defence minister in 2009. According to an independent assessment, the planes were overpriced by 658 million crowns. The former defence minister has come under fire for not commissioning an expert assessment on the price. The Institute of State and Law has concluded that no such assessment was required under Czech legislation. Mrs. Parkanova says her conscience is clear. The lower house is to take a final vote on whether to give her up for prosecution later this week. German police are reported to have found the newborn baby kidnapped in the North Bohemian town of Trmice last week. The three-week-old baby girl, who was forcibly taken from her mother in the street, is reported to be safe and sound. Four people have been arrested in connection with the case. The police have not revealed the motive of the crime, but say the kidnappers did not know the baby's family. The baby was just 18 days old when she was kidnapped. A Czech tourist bus full of children travelling from holiday in Italy caught fire on the A2 highway in Austria late Monday night. No one is reported injured, though the bus was completely destroyed by the blaze. According to the APA news agency, the driver stopped the bus just a few metres from a tunnel and the children quickly escaped to safety. Preliminary estimates suggest the fire was most likely caused by a technical defect. A newly introduced vehicle registration system continued to cause problems on Tuesday after completely collapsing on the previous day. Officers around the country reported long lines of clients waiting to register a vehicle and have appealed to car owners to give them time to get the system up and running. The system was completely overhauled as it was transferred from the interior to the transport ministries. A group of people staged a mock funeral procession at the Národní třída metro station in Prague on Tuesday to protest the station's closing down for a two-year period due to construction work in the vicinity. Critics say that wheelchair-bound metro users will lose one of the few metro stations with barrier-free access. There are only two other stops with barrier-free access on the Prague B line, Florence and Smíchov, with lifts in the latter currently being out of operation. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The next few days should be partly cloudy with rain in places and day temperatures between 23 and 26 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarova, and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Christian Falvey. Many thanks for tuning in. Today, a parliamentary committee has recommended that former defense minister Vlasta Parkanova be stripped of her immunity. After that, what was attacking the trilobites at a time when there were no predators? Czech scientists are on the trail. And later on in this week's Spotlight, we'll visit the nature and history of Prague's Skalka area. All that and more coming up in today's show, so do stay tuned. Parliament's Mandate and Immunity Committee has advised deputies in the lower house to strip coalition MP Vlasta Parkanova of her immunity. The former defence minister is suspected of abuse of public office and breach of trust in connection with a 3.5 billion crown purchase of military planes during her term in office. Following Tuesday's recommendation, she is one step closer to being prosecuted. Jan Wellinger has the details.
Vlasta Parkanova has denied any wrongdoing in the Casa plane purchase, and she has said her conscience is clear. But after Tuesday, she is one step closer to facing legal action. The charge is that as defense minister, Parkanova failed to commission an expert assessment on the purchase of Casa military transport planes that had been ordered, allegedly causing the Czech Republic 658 million crowns in damages. It took members of Parliament's Mandate and Immunity Committee only half an hour before announcing their recommendation that she be stripped of immunity after voting or in some cases abstaining largely along party lines. One member of the coalition's Topo 9 party was against. Civic Democrat Yana Veberova was an exception, siding with the opposition, saying details of the deal needed to be examined by an impartial court. Others, too, even if opposed to the investigation in general, think the recommendation was the right one. For example, Topo 9 Deputies Club head Petr Gazgik told Czech Radio he welcomed the result not because he thought Ms. Parkanova was guilty of wrongdoing, the opposite in fact, but because he opposes parliamentary immunity on principle.
I am against it, and I will vote in favor of her losing immunity when it comes down to the vote. Objectively speaking, though, in the police request, there are lies and there are elements that are being misrepresented. Ms. Parkanova is not being charged because the deal was overpriced, but because she failed to order an expert assessment. That's the difference, I think, and I can't believe that a member of the former coalition party Public Affairs thinks otherwise.
Parkanova má být vina za předražení té zakázky. Nic takové v té žádosti není.
Petr Gazgik's reaction there was to words by Public Affairs Sarate Kion, who is a member of the Mandate and Immunity Committee, who said this.
The most important thing in the file is that there is evidence the planes were overpriced. She should have guaranteed in any way possible that that didn't happen. 3.5 billion is not small change. She should have known what they were worth.
The vote on immunity could take place as early as Wednesday, paving the way for prosecution. Vlasta Parkanova, meanwhile, said that she had reflected on the decision and said that she hoped when it came down to the vote that MPs would base their decision on concrete or factual arguments.
Jan Wellinger there. This is Radio Prague. Czech scientists have found unique specimens of trilobites that suggest something thought to be impossible. Something was eating them. These small animals were amongst the most successful in history, crawling along the seabed for more than 270 million years. But during the Cambrian era, 500 million years ago, when neither fish nor cephalopods had developed, there should have been nothing capable of sinking its teeth into their hard shells. At a recent conference of international paleontologists in Prague, Dr. Oldřich Fatka of the Institute of Geology and Paleontology presented evidence from more than 30 years of study showing that even 508 million years ago, there seems to have been a predator on the seafloor. I spoke with him by phone earlier today.
Our research focused on specimens which show very specific features. There are, in some rare cases, preserved traces of attacks. So in our presentation, we showed about 8 specimens of 12, which are at disposal, showing attack from right or left side just behind the head. There are missing 3 to 6 thoracic segments, and these are the traces of the attack. The attack was lethal. The trilobite was killed. These specimens showing the attack in Cambrian rocks are very spectacular because the animals, which are usually the supposed eaters and attackers of trilobites are still absent.
And do we have any idea what such a predator could have looked like?
Yeah, there is no fish, there is no cephalopod in that time. So we have some speculative idea. For instance, so-called anomalocarids. Anomalocarids is a group which is outside of our recent systems of biology or of biologists. They are very typical for the Cambrian sediments, and they are interpreted as planktonic or benthic or benthonic animals, reaching very large dimensions for that time. Anomalocarids reached more than 100 centimeters in length, and they are interpreted by some authors as potential scavengers and even as animals which were able to attack living other organisms. And that's why we suppose that one of such candidates for those who are responsible for these wounds on the trilobites are anomalocarid-like animals, not the typical genus Anomalocaris, but some smaller forms which were benthonic. It means not well swimming, and they were crawling above the water sediment interface and try to find something to eat. So one of potential these animals are anomalocarid-like types of organisms.
And so where does your research go from here? How will you clarify the situation?
We will try to find more rounded trilobites to see, for instance, if there was already in that time a preference to right or left side, because it was about 20 years ago discussed from Burgess Shale that there is a preference on right side. So we will try to find the animals who could be responsible for these attacks also in Czech Republic. We are not sure if we will be successful because these organisms who are supposedly the attackers were not well skeletonized. It means they are usually very rarely preserved, not only here but worldwide. So we have some traces which could be interpreted as anomalocarid-like animal, but we would like to find more, and if we will find more even in layers in which these wounded trilobites do occur. So in such case, we can say, okay, here we have most probably the guys who are responsible for this attack.
Dr. Oldřich Fatka of the Institute of Geology and Paleontology there, and the troubles with trilobites. To those of you who may just be tuning in, thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. In this week's Spotlight Now, Dominik Jun visits Skalka in Prague's Smíchov district and discovers Baroque-era ruins and forests and meadows galore.
I'm in Prague 5 in the Smíchov district, and I'm with Helena Kašer, who is the managing director of the Czechoslovak Documentation Centre, which is a charity which archives samizdat publications from the communist era. And she's also a resident of this area, so she very kindly agreed to take me to a place that's called Skalka, which translates as mountain. And we're just walking up a hill. So tell me, Helena, why is this place so interesting?
I have to say that I really enjoy coming here because, for example, right now we're passing through an old marlite wall which chestnut tree roots are completely growing through, and the whole place looks like a primeval forest. Here among the leaves we can see the torso of a once beautiful building peeking through. The top windows are gone, the bottom ones have been sealed with concrete, grass is growing out of the gutters, and the chimneys have also long since gone, and the whole place is being guarded, if you will, by high nettles.
It's a very interesting area, this. You get off at Kavalierka station, you walk a while, and there's a sort of a building that's derelict, falling to pieces, surrounded by trees.
The first mentions of this farmstead come from roughly the 14th century. Vineyards once grew here, as they did on much of the slopes in Smíchov. One of these was called Skálovská, and this was either the name then taken by the owner, Dorota Skálová, or the other way round, that the vineyards were named after her, and then the farmstead subsequently also took that name. This was built in the form we see before us at the end of the 18th century, and the ruins here to the right and the wall around that were agricultural farmsteads.
So Helena's pointing to really just ruins. So what was this building?
What I mean by agricultural farmsteads is an average farm where cattle was raised, and as we walk on, we'll see that to this also belonged a number of fields. But right now, we're still walking through an overgrown garden, and to our left, we see the ruins of several more buildings. Now we're arriving at a beautiful and monumental gate, which naturally is in a ruinous state too, and is covered in ivy and protected by two huge trees.
So this is the gate to Skálka?
Ano, ano.
Yes, here we can see the remnants of the arch. It was a semicircle shape, obviously.
So it's basically just two pillars, the brick pillars that are again in quite a ruined state. So this park is more of a time capsule, really.
I think it was about 2 years ago when a sign appeared here informing of the intentions of a developer to build three large villas here. But the locals became so angry that they kicked the sign to pieces before I could return home for a pen to make a note of the company registration number in order to find out who exactly was behind this developer. So to this day it remains a mystery, and no one knows if this wilderness of sorts, full of wonderful ancient trees, bizarre trees, will remain, or if it will be wiped away and replaced by asphalt paths.
Why don't you know this? Is this public land? Is this protected in any way?
Anyone living in Prague who keeps up with local affairs just a little will know that such ideas from developers will never pass muster. Why do people love Prague 5? They love it because there are these and many more farmsteads dotted around the place. Some have since completely vanished and only their names remain. And there are also countless similar parks and forests which are a little rough around the edges.
Takových podobných, více či méně upravených parků a lesoparků.
So there's a lot of pressure here from developers, you're saying.
I would say definitely, because on the Strahov Hill, the first luxury villas were already built a number of years ago. And I think that it is the most beautiful location in Prague, because all around is greenery, at least for the moment, and there is also a great view. This park in Skálka is a paradise for walking your dog, but also for parents and children, as there are rock formations above Blazinská Street, which are something of an indication of the Barrandov rocks. Various rock layers can be seen, so school children are often taken here to learn about geology. The protected nature reserves begin a little further up, while this is all still part of the Skálka farmstead plot.
So the place is dotted with different natural reservations. It's funny to think that we're in Prague and really right now completely surrounded by trees, fields and meadows. Just have a listen to some of the nature. We've just continued to walk down the paths, and to our right are a series of hills, forested hills, but we also see some new flats.
That is Strahov. The hill above the luxury quarter is Strahov.
Walking up a hill along the grass, and just at the crest of the hill emerges an amazing view of Prague. We're facing west, looking even further west out towards in the direction of Plzeň.
Tohle je vlastně údolí Smíchova. Tady
vidíme. That is actually the Smíchov Valley, and over there we can see the Strahov television tower, and beyond that hill is Břevnov.
Kopec Břevnov, teda pod kopcem je Břevnov. A my se teď podíváme na tu skalní vyhlídku.
So now we're going to the scalpa.
Čelouka, po které teď jdeme, tady ještě můžeme vidět zbytky.
On the meadow which we're now traversing, we can see the remains of a former children's playground, all kinds of climbing constructions. And here in the middle we can see underpinnings where once there was a wooden arbor or summer house. And that's where we always used to picnic with the children. Not just us, but many other families too. And as you can see from the terrain, in winter, when all this is covered in snow, many families continue to come here in order to sleigh. This is a very beloved place.
Sáňkovat a pekáčovat.
Yep,
to je velmi oblíbené místo.
Yeah, this is a sort of football pitch-sized clearing with relatively cut grass. It's not really a meadow, it's more of a field, more of a park-looking type area. And it looks perfect for that sort of thing, for skiing and for sleighing in winter time. Yeah. We've just turned left, and to our left now is a little sort of crater where you can see that some people have created a campsite, a fireplace. And now we're walking up a rather steep hill, which again looks to be another peak. And I believe this will be our destination. This is the Skalka, or the Skala, after which this whole area is named. So here we are at the peak of rocks, rock structure. It's quite steep if we look down. Trees. Again, another wonderful view of Prague. We can see down towards Smíchov. Helena's stepping right out to the very edge. Oh wow, it is really a very steep cliff.
Tady je skyně.
And there's a cave, which we probably can't get into because it's underneath. We'd have to climb down, but there's a cave beneath us as well, Helena says.
A tady děti plozí.
The children climb up here.
A velmi často si tady hrají na kovboje.
And they play cowboys and Indians here a lot. And it's a perfect place to play, I can see that. Well, thank you very much for taking us here, Helena.
It's been a pleasure.
Dominic Yoon there with that edition of Spotlight. Topping off our show now today is the next edition of our language learning series, The ABCs of Czech, brought to you by Pavla Horáková.
Welcome to the last episode of the culinary series of the ABC of Czech. Today we'll close the series with a look at the New Year's menu. And for that I'm joined by
Zuzana Durčáková.
The New Year used to be a more important holiday before it became overshadowed by New Year's Eve festivities. For many Czechs, New Year's Day is just a welcome day off they can use to cure themselves from overindulgence. New Year's Eve is a party day. We've spoken about party food in this series, so on the New Year's Eve table you will find Czech open-faced sandwiches,
chlebíčky,
of various kinds, nuts,
oříšky,
crisps or chips,
brambůrky,
and other snacks. Midnight is traditionally celebrated by drinking champagne,
šampaňské,
or rather some local brand of sparkling wine,
šumivé víno,
also known as
sekt.
Some people still keep the tradition of eating boiled pork at midnight.
Vepřový ovar.
With grated horseradish and apples.
Se strouhaným křenem a jablky.
Those who are awake at lunchtime on New Year's Day should eat lots of lentils.
Čočka.
Because in Czech tradition, lentils symbolize money. And as Czechs say,
jak na nový rok, tak po celý rok.
What goes for New Year's Day goes for the whole year round. Instead of lentils, some families cook broth,
vývar,
with semolina,
s krupicí,
as a symbol of money. We hope you've enjoyed this series and found it useful. But now it's time to say for the last time
dobrou chuť.
Bon appétit.
That was Pavla Horáková with the ABCs of Czech, wrapping up Radio Prague's English program for today. Don't forget that this program and every other is available at our internet address, radio.cz. If you have any questions or comments, we are always happy to hear from you. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz, on Facebook or Twitter under Radio Prague, or of course by post to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, thanks for listening.